everybody. It is Coffee with Candace J. I am your host, Candace Jones. We've been gone for a while, but I am glad to be back. We've been doing the things. And now that we have some time to settle down, grab your coffee mug, grab your glass, whatever you need to wind down for the night, and let's get right on to it. I am so excited to introduce to many that may not know, my special guest for tonight is my self-entitled proclaim, the queen of Memphis comedy, LaToya Tennille. Yes, yes. So please introduce yourself to those who may not know who you are. I'm all the way in Georgia, so some people may not know. Tell us who you are, what you do, all the things, so we can get right on to it.
Hey, y'all. So I am LaToya Tennille. I am a stand-up comic from Memphis, Tennessee. I'm a comedy producer. I'm a playwright. I'm an actress. I'm a philanthropist. I have a nonprofit, LaToya Tennille Cares. I'm a bit of a history maker. I was the first Black woman in the state of Tennessee to open a comedy club. I have a boot camp where I teach women how to do comedy. I have a kids comedy camp. I'm an autism advocate. What else? I do so much stuff. I can't just, I'm a dope person. And I'm also the queen of Memphis comedy.
Yes. And we are just so excited to have you. And when I was thinking about who to invite, you know, for season two to have on, I was just like, I gotta have, you know, I love to laugh, you know, I was like, I gotta have LaToya come on because you have been killing it online. I've been cracking up from everything you just been posting. For those who live in Memphis, you have got to follow her. I'm telling you, you will be just on the floor all the time. I first met you. I don't even know how I met you. I don't even remember, but I do remember inviting you to be the host of my stage play in 2016. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Killed it. I don't even remember how we met, but we connected.
I don't remember. You know, when you were part of this, creative arts world, you start crossing paths with people and you're sharing information. You know, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Right. It's a even swap, no swindle. Let's get it. Let's do it. What you good at, what I'm good at, let's put it together and, you know, make it work. So
make it work. Make it do what it do. So I am just appreciative to you, you know, and all the things. I'm proud of you. I'm a huge supporter of women doing their thing. So I'm like, I got to get you on and just get your backstory so a lot of people can connect with you as well. So we're going to jump right on into it for sake of time. Everybody that's watching, feel free, like, share, make sure that you are leaving some questions in the chat. If you have some questions for our guests, that's why I like going live. So you can ask some questions live. I'll also post this to my podcast streaming services as well once we're done. But I had to make sure that you were able to post some comments. So let's get right to it. Listen, I just got to know, do you remember the moment you decided you wanted to become a comedian and what that moment means to you now?
Yes. Actually, it was not my idea to be a comedian. It was somebody else's idea. I used to work at Comcast Cable.
Okay.
And this lady named Miss Doris was in my class. You know, they have a training class. And Miss Doris was in my training class. Well, we went to training class and we came on the floor. I worked at a call center at the time. And you know, when you're on the phone with those and the headsets in the call center, there are things you can and can't say. So for the things that I couldn't say, I would hold up a sign over my head. And so it would be like, Miss Dora. So anytime something dumb happened or I thought was crazy, I would have a dry erase board and I would hold it up saying whatever I want to say. And Miss Doris thought I was so funny. But at the time, my kids were babies. I was going to school to be a history teacher. I was like 30. And I was like, I'm too old to start doing comedy. Like, I'm 30. I got these babies. You know, I didn't know where to start. So it's like, it was her idea for me. She's like, you should do comedy. I'm like, ma'am.
Right.
Like I just kicking and caca and training class. This ain't no. So and then I started going to this church, and as I was going to the church, the pastor preached about purpose. Purpose, and he said spend like 5 minutes a day towards what you want to do as a purpose. So I spent 5 minutes a day writing jokes. And I found somewhere to do it because Miss Doris left Comcast and she would still call me. Do call me. I said, listen, lady, I'm going to find somewhere to do it. And when I find somewhere to do it, you're going to see it's a bad idea and you're going to leave me alone. She said, if you just do it one time, I'll leave you alone. I did it one time, June 2nd, 2010, at Zodiac Lounge on Mount Moriah.
Okay.
And I've been doing it ever since.
Ever since. Yes.
And what that moment means to me now is, again, that was damn near 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And so you would have told me 15 years ago that I would have become a stand-up comic and I would have from stand-up comedy did all these things. I'm like, girl, bye. Because that's not something that I thought was conceivable, especially at that age. And, you know, before I became a comic, I didn't know that Memphis had a comedy scene. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 15 years ago, my gauge of what comedy is and stand-up comedy is Def Comedy Jam and Showtime and HBO. So, and let's be honest, that seemed pretty unattainable back then. You know, when you see comedy, that's what you think is comedy. When you don't know your local scene has a comedy scene, our mindset is famous TV comedy. So you can't even conceive or perceive that there's somewhere in your city you can go and get on stage and do it. So 15 years later, man, I'm appreciative, Miss Doris. I'm so happy that she pushed me and encouraged me to do it, because through comedy, I've been able to do so many things. Like, it has opened up so many different doors for me. And it has put me on stages and met people that I probably would have never been able to do if I had not started telling jokes. You know, so, and I've always been funny, but I just didn't know that there was something I could do, you know, as a passion. And so, yeah.
I love that. Shout out, Miss Doris. Shout out, man. That is amazing. And I love that the takeaway from that is you're never too old to go after whatever it is that passion is, that desire is, that journey that God has you on. I mean, just take that step and you never know what can happen. That's why I love your stories. Like, you just never No, and I'm it's you have so many layers to it, so we got to get to it. And I do have a picture, I don't know if you mind me sharing. I found one online, but I gotta share the picture for those that don't know. You know, Kevin Hart had a series, Heart of the City, and LaToya was on Heart of the City Memphis, the Memphis episode. So, can you just, I don't know where you want to start with this, but tell us, what was it like? Like, how did you even receive the call? Like, how did that happen? What was it like when you got the call, the experience? Like, break that down, because not everybody can say from what you just said, coming from Memphis, where it's not known, it's not LA, it's not, you know, New York, and you're on Heart of the City with Kevin Hart. Like, what the world? Go break that down to us.
No. We got word that Memphis was having a casting call for Kevin Hart has his new TV show called Heart of City, where he comes from city to city. He picks the best comics from that city and put them on his show. So, of course, at that time, this was 2017. So I had been doing comedy 7 years at this point. Yeah, I had been doing comedy for 7 years. Back then, I was Ms. Vivacious. I wasn't LaToya Tennille back then. I was Ms. Vivacious. And so, of course, I was one of the comics picked to compete to be on this TV show, which is an honor in itself. Now, the thing about it is I got to go against all the comics to get it, because there's only enough room for four comics.
Okay.
Four. And I'm gonna share a little something with y'all. Where in a sense where I had to go against all these comics for a spot. However, I kind of had an advantage, and this is the advantage that I had. It's that by tradition, when you see his show, it's normally three men and one woman. Right. So essentially, although I was competing for a spot against all these comics, I was only competing, honestly, I only had to beat out the women, because we know he has one spot for women. Back then, it's year seven. I had a couple of projects under my belt, but I only had to be better than the women. And not to toot my own horn, but that really wasn't hard to do. it wasn't hard because, well, I'll say it wasn't that many of us. It wasn't that many of us. And even back then, I was a strong comic. So I just had to make sure I was better than all the women to make sure I got a spot. So, but then too, you know, we auditioned in like the summertime. We found out like it was all later on down the line that we did that you got picked. And even then, the phone call was so late at night, I thought it was a prank call. I thought it was a prank. I was like, it's 10 something at night. Who the fuck calls somebody? I'm sorry. Can I say fuck? Okay. I'm like, who the hell calls somebody at 10 o'clock at night to tell them, oh, by the way, you got chosen to be on Kevin Hart the City. And call time is this, like, this the phone call was like a Monday or Tuesday. Oh, and by the way, we shooting this Friday and Saturday. I got a whole full-time job at the time. So it's like... We shooting this call. It's like, wait. So I got to go to work, explain to my boss, hey, y'all, by the way, I got picked for the TV show. Yeah, and it's in 2 days.
Right.
So I'm sorry. I can't come to work for these 2 days. I got to shoot with Kim Hart. It's 2 days of full shooting. They let us know that I think things, because, it wasn't 2 days. Because we had a couple of days of open mics. And this is what I learned about what it's like to be on live TV doing comedy. Because not only were we picked, right? They had to hear our set ahead of time. We had to go to multiple open mics to practice our set. So maybe it wasn't like just a couple of days later, but it's like it was a tight time because they had to know what we were gonna say on stage ahead of time. So we had to practice our jokes at multiple open mics. We had to go to open mics in Memphis, in Little Rock, anywhere to say the jokes over and over and over again. They told me I only had control of my hair. I only had control of my hair. They told me to bring like 4 or 5 different outfits, and they would pick out which outfit that I could wear. So I was able to get my hair done. I had to make some phone calls to some boutiques to get clothes and jewelry so that they could pick out what I was going to wear. So it's like, go try this on. Okay, go try it on. Okay, I like it. Wait a minute. Come here. You like this? So you have to keep changing clothes and things to fit, you know, what they want me to wear on stage. So I'm going to tell you this little thing. So, of course, I'm going to be on TV. So, I go buy a brand new bra because I want to make sure the girls are sitting up on TV.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, I don't have small boobs, so my bra wasn't cheap. Right? Okay. Okay, you. Okay. So, I go buy a brand new bra to wear on Heart of the City, because I know I'm getting paid. So I'm like, well, I can just put my account in the negative and buy this bra. So tell me why we get there. We sign a contract for the show, only to find out you're going to get paid, but it ain't going to be for another 6 to 8 weeks. Huh?
Come again. What?
Wait, what? Yeah. Like... On TV, let's put this out here. When you're on a TV or TV show, you don't get paid the same day. So it's because, you know, as a stand-up comic, you're used to when you're booked for an event, you're booked for a show, they pay a deposit, you get paid the day of. It ain't how TV work. TV, They're gonna mail you a check in 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Right. So I bought this brand new bra, put my account in negative to buy. But hey, the girls were sitting up.
What you gotta do? I mean, do what you gotta do.
Nonetheless, the girls were sitting up. And it was a totally, you know, I got my makeup done. I got, you know, and it was a really cool experience. Now, what I can tell you that was what I thought was really cool was that meeting Kevin Hart, because Kevin Hart, we see him being silly and funny and loud.
Yeah.
That man is so business minded. Like, he's business minded and he's serious when it comes to his business. Because the weekend that he filmed for us, he actually was sick. He was sick that weekend. And so it's like he didn't come out until it was time to film. So I remember the day that we filmed with him, when he came in the room, you know how you think you say something to yourself in your head, but you say it out loud?
Uh-huh.
He walks in the room and I say, oh my God, he's so little. I say this out loud. And I'm like, and I didn't realize I said that. Like, he was like, oh, yep, I'm little. And he jumps on the stool. And we're in there, we're getting ready to film. And I remember we couldn't film immediately because there was a glare coming from the beer case. So they couldn't film. There was a glare coming from the film case. So we couldn't film. I had on some chandelier earrings. So my chandelier earrings kept making noise. They had to swap my earrings out. And then he was like, why we're not filming? What's going on? Why we're not filming? It was like, he's like, My time is valuable. He said, you should have called me down here when you're ready. You got me down here, you ain't ready to go. Let's go. Let's move. I got stuff to do. And we're sitting in the room like. And he says, like, he tells him, put a sheet, whatever. Okay, so they put it up there. All right, boom. Let's go. And they say, action. And he turns on. Hey, how y'all doing? I'm Kevin Hart. Da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, I'm sitting there like, this is not the same man that just
that was just
you know. But he went into it. And for other people that don't know, remember I told y'all when I did the show, my name was Ms. Vivacious.
Right,
in 2017,
right. I remember.
My stage name was Ms. Vivacious. Well, what happened was when we introduced ourselves to Kevin, I told him, hi, my name's LaToya. So the entire interview, he calls me LaToya. What happens is when they got ready to edit the footage to put on Comedy Central, they realized that I wrote Ms. Vivacious on all of my paperwork. But I told him my name was LaToya. And he called me LaToya the entire interview. And so I got a phone call from one of the producers like, we got a problem. I'm like, what's the problem? They said, you got to change your name. Why I gotta change my name? Well, in order for the fluidity of the show, he called you LaToya, not Ms. Vivacious. So we can't put Ms. Vivacious in front of your name mm-hmm. on stuff, and he called you LaToya.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we researched you, and you do a whole lot of things. He said, only comics who want to be hole-in-the-wall comics go by quirky stage names. They said, if you had a lot of followers under Ms. Vivacious, we wouldn't be tripping. But you only have, and whatever the small number was, so you can change your name. You'll be changed. I was like, I'm not changing my name. I've been Ms. Vivacious for the past 7 years. What do you mean? It's like, you can't go be about. I said, what about, they said, well, successful comics that want to go worldwide, use their real name. And I said, there is no way in hell I'm going to go by LaToya Polk, because Polk is my father's last name. He's never been a father, so that's not going to work. And I said, what about LaToya Ms. Vivacious? They said, no. I said, what about Ms. Vivacious LaToya? They said, no. So we're going back and forth about what my name is going to be, because they're telling me it has to be LaToya. And I'm saying, I've been Ms. Vivacious for the past 7 years, and I don't care what y'all talking about. So finally, he said, what is on your birth certificate? I said, LaToya Tennille Polk. He said, "That's your real name?" I said, "Yes, Latoya Tennille Pokies." Latoya Tennille. I said, "Yes." He said, "I like it. It's your real name. It has a nice ring to it. From here on out, you will go by Latoya Tennille." He said, "Go and change all your social media to your new name. And from here on out, you will no longer be Ms. Vivacious." Wow. I hung up and I cried for 30 minutes because I felt like he killed her off.
Wow.
I had been Ms. Vivacious for the past 7 years.
Yeah.
And so people, yes. And so you telling me in one day, in an hour-long conversation, that I can't be Ms. Vivacious anymore? But I will tell you, me becoming Latoya Tennille was the best thing that I could have ever done.
Wow.
It was the best thing that I could have ever done. It literally changed who I was as a person. It changed my jokes. Because what I noticed was happening as I transitioned from Ms. Vivacious to Latoya Tennille is that Ms. Vivacious was somewhat of a character, whereas Latoya Tennille was an actual person.
Yeah.
It helped when I asked, "Hey, I'm Latoya Tennille. Hey, I'm Latoya Tennille." So now I'm happy that they made me go by Latoya Tennille versus Ms. Vivacious. Now you got a couple people. You got a couple people that still know me from back then. They may call me Ms. Vivacious, call me Vi. But the professional way to say it is Latoya Tennille.
And that's, I mean, I never knew that story, because I remember when you hosted my stage play back in 2016, it was under Miss Vivacious. And I never knew the story from when you switched. I mean, I remember your social media switching and everything, but I just never knew this story of why. That's why I love stuff like this, because I promise you, I didn't know. Yeah. I just,
why it switched, because I gave Kevin Hart my real damn name instead of Miss Vivacious.
Wow. So what was that like? So you're about to go live. You're about to go on stage. What's going on through your mindset? Like, I'm performing in front of Kevin Hart, not just the audience, because you know you're going to kill the audience. But what is that like in your mindset?
In the moment, it's life-changing. In the moment, you realize what an opportunity you have. Because, again, all these comics audition for it, you're one of the ones that are picked. This is going to go down and it will never be erased.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that anybody can take from you. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I'm a woman in comedy, and being a woman in comedy is a different monster. Being a black woman in comedy, there's a whole nother stratosphere of issues and problems. So for that moment, you know, it meant a lot. It meant a lot that, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, and what's crazy is, Candace, how about I'm on Comedy Central and I ain't even got cable? I ain't even have cable to watch myself.
And that's okay.
I'm filming for a cable television show and I don't have cable to even watch myself. So
hey, what won't he do it though? That don't matter.
Like, I was like, I didn't even, like, I'm gonna be on cable, and I didn't even get the channel to watch myself. Like, this was okay.
That was okay. But
it is okay.
It's okay. I mean, you was on Comedy Central. Who else gonna say they on Comedy Central?
Right. And it's cool. Like, even now, like, because, you know, for a long time, for a minute, the episodes were on Comedy Central, and then the episodes were on the Comedy Central website. But now you can go on Tubi and see the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on Tubi. So it's on Tubi. The only thing I guess I was kind of disappointed in, but it's okay, is that when I filmed it, I did about 8 minutes. I did a strong 8 minutes. When they air it down to, like, I want to say, I think, like, 90 seconds. So it's like people, like, you were on there quick. Like, when I filmed, I did 8 minutes. So, you know, when you on, but they... I learned that what you're doing is their property. So they can manipulate it and edit it and take it and do whatever they want to do with it. So where I had a good strong 8 minutes, it got dwindled down to a minute and a half.
Wow.
But so such is life. I can still say I was on Comedy Central.
You was with on Kevin Comedy Hart. Central. And that, no matter how long that was, I don't care if it was 30 seconds.
But you know, sometimes I find myself, because it was so long ago, you know, I find myself downplaying it. And people have to remind me, baby, no ma'am, you can't, like, you know, I was on Comedy, like, it's like, okay, I was on Comedy Central. And then, you know, so I want a number three. With, you know, they like, wait, you just can't glaze over the fact that you were on Comedy Central. But, I was on Comedy Central, yeah.
At all. And I am a firm believer that nothing happens by accident. God had you there for a reason. You know, you can go down in history with that. It's forever written, as you said. So that is something no one can take away from you. And the amount of doors that have opened from that experience is amazing. So can you talk about, like, right after that happened? I know we got other questions, but right after that happened, what immediately changed, or what was that like?
You know, of course, you know, it immediately, everybody's happy for you. You know, you have the watch party. People come to the watch party. Now, the expectation is that the world is going to open wide. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you're going to arrive. No, you go to work Monday morning. And you start all over again.
Yes.
You know, you go back to your regular. Like, you know, people think that, you know, this success happens overnight, because you're doing this, oh, tomorrow you're gonna be famous. No, that's not how it works. Because, you know, the show airs, Kevin Hart has moved on to this, on to the next city. I'm still here in Memphis, and I have to continue to build on what I'm doing. And I'll say this, at the same time, what we're dealing with is a transition. Okay.
Yeah, we're here.
Is the transition of stand-up comedy to social media.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having to learn how to go from being a stand-up comic to transition to social media. Because now everybody... Oh, my God. I don't know. Is it my internet connection? I hope not.
We can still hear you. We can still hear you. Well, she's gonna come right back in. I think it was an internet issue. Stay with us, everybody. I love what she said as far as people thinking that as soon as they see you on something.
Okay, I'm back. There we go. Okay, all right. So we're dealing with the time where we're transitioning from stand-up comedy being a popularity to social media. So you having to, and I ain't gonna lie, I kind of got lost in the transition to social media because I'm a stand-up comic. I'm showing up in front of people.
Yeah,
I don't know how to put a cell phone in front of my face or a camera in front of my face and talk to people and post it and everybody love it. You know, so, but I am eternally grateful for Heart of City. Because again, it's something I can always mention. I can always say that it's a credit that you can't take from me. If somebody wants to see me, oh, I was on, you know, you can go log on Tubi and watch me, you know, so.
I love it. I was going to say what you said as far as people have this expectation of you thinking that you're immediately on that level of Kevin Hart and you got Kevin Hart money. Like, hey, did anybody contact you for money? Hey, Latoya, you just
was people, people see you at one stage and they assume, like, you know, even before Kevin Hart, when I would perform at a Chuckles Comedy House or anywhere with famous comics, people see you associated with famous comics and they feel like tomorrow you're going to be famous. Like, no, I'm not going. No, I'm not. No. I got MLGNW tomorrow. You know, the rent is still due tomorrow.
Right.
The world didn't miraculously open up when after I did. You know what I'm saying? So I still had to work, and it's a continuous grind. It's a grind that Yeah, it doesn't stop. But you know, again, it's a feather in my cap. It happened. I did it. Next.
I love it. I love that. And it's like next, and it keeps building, but it humanizes all of us to say, look, we're still on that process of going there, but it gives you that preview that God is like, hey, I told you I'm still with you. Like this.
And you want to know what's crazy about the whole Kevin Hart thing? It's just funny. Okay, so I stutter in real life. You probably can't tell right now, but I stutter in real life, especially when I'm excited and when I'm mad. So if you watch the clip of me on Kevin Hart, of all the clips they could have used, of all the ones they used, they used the one of me stuttering. I was like, come on now, y'all. So the whole wide world sees me being interviewed stuttering. When I'm like, come on, whatever.
Right, okay. Like that's my life. Such what you say, like such is life. Of course, life. Of course, yeah, they would use that one. Yeah. Of course, they would. Hey, and again, it humanizes. It tells people we're not superheroes. We just like you. But it just shows people that look, this is the path that God has us on, and that's that preview.
Yeah, too, like what's crazy. Keep in mind, again, we filmed Kevin Hart in like the summer, and it didn't air until later on. So I was 286 pounds when I filmed Kevin Hart. When it aired, I had weight loss surgery. Mm-hmm. So I was so much smaller. I was like a totally different person. So yeah. It was just like, oh my God, who the hell is that big ass woman on the TV? So like, I wonder like if he saw me now, would he even recognize me? Because again, I was 286 pounds when I filmed Heart of the City. Of course, I'm not 286 pounds now, but I was a big girl.
And you were still killing it, though.
I was still killing it. Just like, whoo. Yep, that was good.
And you was killing it. I'm like, that's all that matters, honey. You know, let's keep it rolling. For sake of time, you know, you see stuff on social media all the time, like who had talks too much on their report card. And I'm like, I have to raise my hand. You know, my teacher called me the mouth of the South. Like, I'm loud to this day. But were you that student?
Yes, I definitely was. I was a student with all A's and N's and U's in conduct. My conduct kept me off the honor roll for a very long time. It was not until I got into high school that I met teachers that got to know me and know LaToya and how to deal with LaToya that I could actually get decent conduct grades. I got N's and you know how hard it is for me to get an S in conduct? If I got an S, so an E was out of the question. There was nowhere in hell. I was gonna get an E. We can hang it up. I talk too much.
Right.
I talk too much. Ain't no way I'm gonna get an E. So if I got an S, we were doing something.
Right. So did you get like detention and stuff? I used to get detention for talking too much.
Man, they would call my mama. They would call my grandma. I have to stay after school. It is like, oh God, just give me a break. I say it wasn't until I got to probably high school where, and of course, in the senior superlatives, what did I get? Most talkative.
Yeah. So did one teacher, you know, I'm a teacher, so I gotta ask the question, did any teacher say, you know what, you might as well be a comedian one day, or did they see it or say anything? Do you remember?
I wouldn't say comedian, but at Sheffield High School, I had Mr. Houston, and Mr. Houston was a drama teacher. I had Miss Tate. Miss Tate was a music teacher. So do you know how in school there's a student that whenever there's a program, you know they're going to be on it? That was me.
Yes.
If there was a program, I was going to be on that joint. Mm-hmm. I was going to be speaking. I was going to be singing. I was going to be dancing. I was going to be whatever. If there was a school program that consisted of students, I was going to be on it.
Yes.
That was me. I was a student that was always on stage of some sort. But again, comedy wasn't a thought back then. You know, you don't think comedian. You know, even then, I called myself I'm gonna be an actress. I'm gonna be a singer. You know, but I'm from Memphis. Who actually does that from Memphis? You know, you don't see it. Mm-hmm. You don't believe it.
People
you
know? Around your community. Exactly.
It's like now, you know how many girls from Memphis who now little girls know they can be a rapper because of Glorilla.
Yeah,
because they can. Yeah. see this girl, they see her doing it. So yeah. Now they can see it and believe it. So seeing is to believe it. And I didn't see any comics from Memphis. You know, we didn't see any famous singers from Memphis. Right. You know, you don't see that from Memphis back then.
Or at least in your generational type.
In my generation, you know, there was, you know, the Elise Neal and, you know, but those things are so far-fetched. You know, we are told to go to high school and get a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Get a good job. Unless you're athletic, now you're pushed. If you're an amazing athlete, you're pushed into that. But other than that, you know, you are told to either graduate and go into, you know, the service, mm-hmm. or you go to college and get a great job. That's right. What we're trying to do. You know, that's what we're trying to do. That's why I say right now, I'm not raising 9-to-5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that. And mm-hmm. I think I wish more parents, you see your child. Like, you, baby, you ain't, you, some kids are 9-to-5 kids. I was definitely not a 9-to-5 kid. And I think I definitely would have benefited from not being pushed in the direction of the workforce versus doing something in the arts. But, you know, so such is life. And I'm all right. I'm cool.
Yes, yes. You know what you're gifted in and strive for. That's a message to anybody watching. You know where you're supposed to be and just go after it. No matter how long it takes, it's meant for you. God will show you those previews and just to remind you to keep going. As we keep it moving, can you tell us what makes your comedy unique from other comedians? For those who don't know you, you know, this comic is known for this. Like, what makes you? What makes LaToya Tennille?
Man, I'm real. And if I talk about it, more than likely it happened in real life. I love the idea of my jokes change as my life changes. So there's a possibility that a joke that you heard me say a long time ago that was hilarious, I don't say it anymore because it doesn't apply to my life. You know, I over the years, I've learned how to hone my gift and hone my craft to where I can, if I felt like it, depending on where I am, I can get up there and do it off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to be so structured. Again, this is also depending on the setting. I love the idea that, you know, I have a son with autism.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have the opportunity to educate people about my son's autism while making it funny. I can make anything funny. Yeah. I love even the most tragic, horrible thing that you could probably imagine is happening. I have the gift of making funny. I loved when I would, there'll be times in my club, and this is how, you know, you have those moments where you realize I'm really good at, you know, you know, I don't know, but you have those moments to say, you know what, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I really realized I was good at this was when I had my own club, right? And there will be times where after the show, I would get on stage and I would be doing my thank yous. And I would start talking, people would not move.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, I know the show over. They would literally, people would be listening to and hanging on to my every word. And I would just be talking. And sometimes I would be talking, they would just be falling out their seat laughing. I'm just like, I'm being serious. Like, there wasn't a joke. Like, that's dead ass. So mm-hmm. Just you like, oh, okay, so maybe I am, like, you know, okay, I can do this. Maybe I am good at this. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I love that you can hone into who you are and be yourself, and you're not trying to be anybody else, but authentically you. And that's what matters. That makes you stand apart, and that's what's going to continue to take you, you know, to greater heights, you know. And the fact that people can, you know, give you that affirmation, you know, when you're done, it just means the world that you know you're in the right space. I love that. And you talked about being a mom, you know, of your son with autism. That brings me to my next question. How do you balance being a mom and your comedy? I try to use that hashtag with all the stuff I got going on, like working mom, like we out here doing the things. You know, we're not just staying at home, you know, with kids, taking care of the kids. So how do you balance that? And what is your advice to other moms, you know, to pursue their dreams while supporting kids, a family? Like, what is your advice with that?
Man, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm gonna be 100% honest. It ain't easy.
Mm-hmm.
It is not. It's who you're gonna be. It's gonna be great. No, I'm gonna tell you that in the beginning, everybody's gonna support you, and then at some point, they may get tired of it. They may not like. And keep in mind, when I started doing comedy, my kids, so I want to say 3 and 5 or 4, they were young. They were young. And so again, stand-up comedy is you don't become famous tomorrow.
Right.
So in the beginning, everybody's hyping, everybody's excited, but over time it doesn't happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm a woman doing it. So whereas the men leave the kids with the mama and they gone on about their life, well, guess what? I'm the mama.
Mm-hmm.
So I just can't. Hey, I'll be back. No. There were times where I had to miss things. There were times there were times where I had to take my children with me. I can tell you there have been times where I have booked to do gigs and my kids sat in the car. And my kids sat in the car and I sat in the car with them. And so it was my turn to get up. And it was my turn to get up. Another comedian came and sat in the car. I went and performed.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back out. My kids have spent their fair share of green rooms. Yeah. Baby, we have stuck my Caleb and the money is everybody niece and nephew in the comedy world because they have been stuck in green rooms. People rotate to take them to the bathroom. People make sure they got something to eat. So that's what it becomes. This thing where you have to figure out, you know, I got to be a mama.
Village. I love the village. Yes,
but I got to do this. Mm-hmm. And I can say as my kids got older, I could take them with me. You know what I'm saying? So as they got older, and so you keep my kid again, now they're 18 and 20. So all my kids know it's comedy life. So it gets to the point, so as they get older, they can go on a roll with you. So I can stick them in a hotel room. I'll be back. Mm-hmm. Like I remember the first time I did comedy out of town and I took my kids and I stuck them in a hotel room. We were in New Orleans. And we're in New Orleans for a comedy thing. And I leave my kids in the room. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be back in a couple of hours. Right? And so we end up, we were done in a couple of hours. I was like, I'm just going to call the hotel to check on them. My kids didn't answer the phone. Baby, when I tell you, I get to rush into the hotel to make sure they're okay. Baby, my kids have put themselves to bed.
They know the deal.
They know what it is. And so what I can say is, it's not going to be easy. Do not quit.
Mm-hmm.
Do not give up. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Stop. If I when I tell you how many times I wanted to quit because I had nobody to watch my kids, mm-hmm. or how many times I wanted to stop because Caleb got a meltdown or Imani's sick. But I'm going to tell you how I think. God is so intentional and he's so amazing how he works things out, because I used to be so stressed out and mad because I couldn't get out and I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. And I'm behind. God, in my personal opinion, spaced my life out and placed opportunities in my life to where my kids were old enough for me to do things. So yeah. When I was mad, I couldn't do it at 3 and 5 and 6 and 7, 8, 9. Baby, it wasn't time.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get to a point to where they are 14, 15, 16, 17, and now 18 and 20, and the world is mine.
Yes.
So you just trust, what they say, trust the process.
Yes.
Trust the process, mama. Don't quit. Stick with it.
Stay yes. there.
Trust the process. It's going to be rough. And it's going to be easy. Also, be honest with your children. Have that conversation. Look, mama's trying to do this. Mama's trying to do that. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you. And I love the relationship that I can have with my children, because I can talk to them and say, listen, I love y'all, but I need to do this. And mm-hmm. this is what I need y'all to do while I'm doing this. So if it would make things easier if y'all would just, you know, my kids knew mama's going to be Ms. Mavacious or she's going to be Latoya Tennille. My kids knew, oh, when I got home, like right now, I said, Caleb, I'm finna do a podcast. Shut the hell up.
Right.
You know, the door closed. He knows something going on in here. But, man, have those honest conversations with your kids about what it is you're trying to do. And you got to, because the thing about it is, you can't neglect being a mom.
Right.
Because you don't want your kids to feel like you don't love them or they're less important. And there's an open line of communication where I want my kids to tell me if they feel like they're being neglected or they feel like they're being, you know what, hey, come talk to me. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I love comedy, but you way more important than any joke I'ma ever tell.
Right. I love that. You sitting there making me, I love the laugh. Like I said, you trying to make me cry over here, girl. Don't do it to me because you know I'm still like a new mom. It's, you know, the adoption was finalized, you know, it's been a year, but still like as I'm doing the things and I have to go and film, you know, my youngest is like, oh, imagine my mom can't be at my first basketball game. I'm like, oh, Lord, you know?
Yeah, so, it's a sacrifice at times,
you know,
it's a sacrifice. I try to make everything. I try to do everything. And when I can't, I have no problem sending a representative.
Yeah. That's what I did. Yeah.
You know, you gotta send a representative, you know, and it's crazy because, you know, in our kids' eyes, we are the most greatest, amazing people ever.
Mm-hmm.
And even to the point to where they see what we do and it's their norm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing that for my kid, you know, my kids, it's normal to see me perform and it's normal to see me. This is a everyday, like, you know, how the wigs and stuff and me doing the character stuff. Mm-hmm. You know how many times my kids can walk in here and say, oh, she doing that again. And just walk like it's their norm. So something walking around and I'm drawing a mustache, or I'm drawing a beard, or I'm putting on a wig, or I'm scrumming it close. It's so normal to them.
It's normal.
It's their norm.
Speaking of, if
it's, yes,
this right here. So I know I'm in Georgia. So anybody that's on from Georgia, you may not know who Jeremy Pierre is, but famous broadcaster out of Memphis. LaToya dressed up. First of all, what made you dress up like this? Because this was before his birthday. You did this. You just reposted the picture. But what made you dress up?
Let's go back to where all this stuff started. Before we got here, we got to go to how the whole thing when we dressing up people came into
fruition. Yes, like what the world?
We got to go back to the school board is how all this started.
Okay.
Because there was all this hoopla going on about the stuff with Dr. Fagans and the school board and all this stuff at the school board and the school board and what's this and what's that. So I'm like, oh, something's happening with the school board. Let me tune in to watch it so I can see what's going on. So the thing is, my kids are graduating and going on. I ain't got no business watching no school board meeting. My kids are in college. They in college, so I have no purpose, reason, rhyme, or even an excuse to watch the school board. But I'm going to decide, because of the hoopla online, I'm going to watch school board meeting.
Right.
So I'm watching school board meeting, and I'm seeing the dramatic and hilariousness of what is going on around me. And I noticed this one lady who is just, is absolutely, is crazy. And I say, I got a wig like that. So I go in my wig bag and I put the wig on and I posted a picture of it. And everybody loved it. And I was like, oh, okay. I got another wig. So I just went down the line recreating myself as each person. And it hit. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, let me try to do videos. So I started doing videos of the school board, and then that hit, and I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, we had a time frame in between the school board, one school board meeting and the next school board meeting. So I was like, okay, I got to find something to do in the meantime because I got to keep these people's attention. So I saw a picture of Jeremy Pierre, and I said, I think I can recreate it. And so I did. Then he posted another picture. And I recreated that one. Then he did one of Ernie Freeman. And I recreated that one. So then I started doing this thing where I go in and I take people's pictures and I try to recreate them with things around the house. The goal is, the challenge and the goal is to recreate the picture as quickly as possible, but I can't go buy nothing.
Right.
And I have to use things that are already in my house.
I love.
So that's why on that picture, Jeremy Pierre, I didn't have a belt buckle, so I had to make a belt buckle with two earrings. I didn't have a gray scarf, but I had a towel. Like, I had, you know, you got to be strategic in how you recreate stuff. Like,
you and know. I say so many, like, y'all just don't know, hundreds and hundreds. The city, like, flocked to that, and it just went crazy.
Yes, yes, yes. And I was, you know, and you know, when I first, you wonder, are people going to take to it? Are people going to like it? Are they going to be upset about it? Most people that I do the pictures of like it. The only backlash I've gotten from doing the school board is the chairman of the school board, her granddaughters and them didn't take kindly to me imitating her. So they like, pull up, drop your location, and we gonna get you. You got her missed. I'm like, baby, I am not going to fight. I'm going all to right. pull up and press charges.
Wow, not pull up.
Oh, pull up, baby. I am a 45-year-old grown ass woman. What I look like pulling up anywhere with
right.
my child babies over some campus I did.
Right.
How I look. No, baby. I'm too old to fight.
You're too old. Learn to laugh.
Yeah, you better. And they were messaging me. I'm like, baby, I'm not going to. They wanted me to stop. I'm not going to stop.
No, please don't.
I'm not going to stop. And I would try to explain to them, like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything derogatory. I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm not. I don't know these people personally. So I'm not personally. I'm only recreating what I see and what the public can see. So I'm not going. She's a great grandmother. Possibly, but on January the 28th at the school board meeting, she struggled with these words.
Right. Woo! That's what made all of us like run to like, what they doing in Memphis? I'm serious. Like, we all the way in Georgia. Like, what they right. doing because of what you posted? It went crazy. I'm like, what they doing? And when you see
and
it,
I like, did not. I and I tell it. You, I did not expect it to hit the way it hit. But I thank God that it did, because it gave me my break into social. I have gotten over 2,000 followers.
Yes,
I've gotten invitations to events. People are booking me for gigs. When I go out in public now, it is crazy that people notice me, and it's still surreal. And I'm trying to wrap my head around it, because what'll happen is, like, I went to Mapco yesterday to get me a Red Bull because I was sleepy as I don't know what. And I pull up and I get out, and the lady in her car, she go, ah! I'm like, ah! I'm like, she's like, girl, you are so funny. When I saw what you did at school, boy, girl, it's hilarious. And it's like, oh, like, thank you. It's starting to be common when I go places and people recognize me, or either they don't say nothing and they just stare like, I think that's her. I don't want to say, yeah, nigga, it's me, but I can't. So that's the, but it's, you know, I'm appreciative. It took me a minute to figure out social media, but I'm here now. And so now it's just now making sure I continue to create content and stay relevant on social media so that I can begin to get the gigs. Cause you know, one person I think about is, you know, the girl Quanta Brunson from Abbott Elementary.
Yes,
remember
yes.
She used to be. That's how she started. Mm-hmm. That is where I got a whole goddamn TV show, Abbott Elementary. So I'm like, if she can start doing, she can, because yes. You know, I'm a writer. you know, and I do stuff like that. I love how doing this has made people pay attention to the other things I know how to do. So yeah. It's like some people are entering this chapter of my life, seeing me do wigs and characters. They ain't know I was a stand-up comic, or they ain't know I wore plays, or they ain't know that, you know, I do kids' events. They ain't know I had a clothes closet, you know. So it's like all these different things are coming out, and they like, oh, or like it's crazy to hear some people talk about me. And they're like, she just came out of nowhere. I'd be like, Lord have mercy. No. I've been here for 15 years, but okay.
Right.
I've been here a long, but I was in a Facebook group, and somebody called me an internet comic. I said, you know what? I'll take it.
I love it. I love you for it. I've been, you know, a fan, you know, since day one. Since I've, you know, interacted with you and got with you in 2016, I'm forever grateful.
Yeah, see, it's crazy. You know? It's like for y'all. Because I know I've had a lot of people who've known me from the get-go.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, my God, y'all seen Toy. And y'all like, y'all like, this ain't nothing new. Because y'all like, nothing what? New
at all.
It's like they think they're telling y'all something. And you like, oh. Especially people who know me in real life, they like, Toya? Like, you still getting out of Toy Sunia? Like, Toya? Like, somebody, like, huh? Like, you know, it's... I'll take it either way, whatever.
Take it in stride. Like I said, I'm proud of you. We're wrapping up for the night. This has been a blast. I'm so grateful that I get to connect, you know, especially over the internet. Since I moved away, it's like I still find that way to connect with people, you know, that's still in the arts, you know, however we can make it happen. You ever near Atlanta? You ever do anything near there, please let me know so I can come out and support.
Of course.
You know, so if you have any final thoughts, you've been giving some gems, you've been sharing. I've loved the backstories. I just love it. Any final thoughts that you want to share about anything or anything you got upcoming, anything you got going on that you want to share?
Let's see what final thoughts. Continue to support me. If you don't know who I am, follow me on everything. Anything you can Google me. That's an amazing thing about me as a person, is that you can actually Google me. You can Google
yes.
me. You can definitely Google me. If there are any moms watching this, stay like I said, stay focused. Don't stop, don't quit. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to do, you can do it. Like, there is nothing that you can't do. It ain't nothing you can't tell me I can't do. I can do anything. It may take me some time. I may have to try to figure out some stuff strategically to get it done, but it ain't nothing you can't tell me. Anything is possible.
Anything,
don't let nobody tell you can't do nothing. Don't let nobody tell you when you can do. Don't. First of all, quit telling folks who don't mean no good your ideas.
Yeah.
If you can't find you a buddy to hey, I want to do this, and they don't hype you up, don't tell them. Because people like to take their limitations and put them on you.
Mm-hmm.
People love to tell you what you can't do based on what they can or what they wouldn't do. Baby, don't do me. Don't do me. You don't know me. You can't do it. I can do it.
Right.
Don't tell me what I can. I can do. Hey, I can do it. You can't do it. That's unfortunate for you. So that's just my final thought.
She said that's unfortunate. First.
I always wear a good girdle and a good bra.
Good girdle, good bra. That is our time. I thank you so much. You've been amazing. I encourage everybody to please. Like, share, follow my girl LaToya_Tenille. She's amazing. Catch up with those videos. So catch up with the videos. If you don't know what we're talking about, even if you're not in Memphis and you're like, what about the school board? I don't care. Please get some context. Look at the photos, follow the videos, and then look at the footage that they have. And you will just, I'm telling you, that is, laughter is good for the bones. That is biblical. Laughter is good medicine to the bones. So I am so appreciative of you. Share whatever you got coming up. And look, keep in touch with me. And I will definitely be so thankful to continue to support you. I'm so glad to see you again, my girl.
Thank you. Love you, Candace.
Love you too. And I will see you all next time. Again, this is Coffee with Candace J, and I'll see you the next go round. Good night.
Good night.